Welcome back to the second hour of Radio Alchemy on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara County. Hey, y'all, thank you so much for being up late. And I am so happy and proud to have on this second hour's guest. Her name is Dr. Judy Wood. Remember her from last week? She has a radical new perspective on the September 11th hit job against America. I've always said that this war on terrorism is really a war on terror against Americans. We're paying for everything. We're being tagged. We are being completely surveyed. Our Constitution, Bill of Rights being shredded. We are the people that are suffering for this. And so to get a real clear perspective on September 11th, we need to hear anything and everything. And Dr. Judy Wood has a perspective that is new, that is really intense. And we kind of left you at a cliffhanger this last Thursday because we were just warming up on the facts. And she was dropped in some heavy info bombs on all of you. Well, I promised she would be back, and here she is in this second hour. And get to our guest, Dr. Judy Wood. Let me remind you who she is. She has a background in physics, a background in mechanical engineering. She is a professor, a former professor of engineering at Clemson University. There is just so much to say about her. She's a former professor of mechanical engineering with research interests in experimental stress analysis, structural mechanics, optical methods, deformation analysis, and the materials characterization of biomaterials and composite materials. She's a member of the Society for Experimental Mechanics, co-founder of the Society for Experimental Mechanics, Biological Systems and Materials Division, and currently serves on the Composite Materials Technical Division. There is a lot to say, but the one good thing is that you get to hear from her now as we continue our analysis of the evidence of something else happening at the World Trade Center towers, and not just the towers. What she highlighted to all of us is that the whole complex was affected by what happened on September 11th. And so without further ado, let me welcome back to KPFK Dr. Judy Wood. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Now, you covered a lot of evidence last week to talk about that the current theories and a look at September 11th is falling short of what possibly actually happened. We're talking, of course, about the demolition, the charges for the demolition of the building as one look at it, where there is talk about micro nukes at the base of the World Trade Center towers. And, of course, the discussions around thermite. You are coming out with completely different look and evidence of this that doesn't point to these conclusions but to something completely different. Could you quickly summarize what evidence you brought forth last week for our listeners?
You've done such a great job of this. there's such a wide variety of evidence. There's pulverization of materials. There's what I call toasted cars. It doesn't mean they've necessarily been cooked. They're toast. They're history. And just various anomalous events. There's no debris just about left at the end of the day.
Right.
Where'd the building go?
Right.
And why has it taken so long for someone to ask, where'd the building go?
Right.
And there's very little seismographic impact on the ground, as though a building did not land on the ground. So where'd it go?
Right.
No molten metal. Mm-hmm. Evidence to the contrary. 3 days after 9/11, it rained. We didn't have a steam explosion. With fire hoses on 9/11, we didn't have a steam explosion. And if folks are walking out onto what they call the pile, that's another psyops, they walk out onto the flat football field, they couldn't be there if it were hot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look with your eyes and observe with your eyes, you see reality. And I can't stress it enough that we all need to look for ourselves. And that's why I've tried to tabulate all of this evidence together to look at. Because if we're just taking somebody's word for it, some guru, that guru can lead us off the cliff.
Absolutely. I mean, you're right. The notes that you left with me, the lack of heat, the fume clouds, the dirty and toasted trucks, the rusty steel, the no molten steel, the withered beams, windows blown out with no projectiles as evidence as to what caused that blowout, the marble missing from the doorways. The Bankers Trust building has this huge slot groove out as if a potter came with a tool and just took a groove right out of the front of it, upside down cars. And then what you left us with, which is a major cliffhanger for all of us, was the presence of Hurricane Aaron off the coast. Now, your website, drjudywood.com, has amazing evidence and amazing photographs that backs up, because, like you said, believe your eyes. Well, you give the eyes the evidence and candy it needs to assess what you're talking about, and you have a whole section there about Hurricane Aaron, and it shows the weather forecast. And then it shows, I guess, a photo. Did you get it from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration? Where did you get the photograph of Hurricane Aaron?
There's a variety. From my front page, if you click on whatever picture interests you, the first picture is the index for the series. Each picture, I source where I got it from.
Yes.
And a lot of them are from, you know, within the article, a lot of them are from the National Hurricane Center or National Weather.
Right.
So, and some are from weather stations.
Well, it's amazing because you have right next to it the either Channel 4 or Channel 7 weather maps that they had for that day on September 11th, and there is no hurricane in sight.
Right. You're, I think, referring to Aaron 1, the first page.
Yes.
Right, it was somebody took some screenshots of the TV set that morning, and it shows that area of the ocean where there should be a hurricane, and there's nothing there. One of them says rough seas, but it doesn't say why there's rough seas.
I mean, a hurricane off of the coast of New York is something I haven't heard of. I mean, I guess they get hurricanes there. I think it's more of a Florida phenomenon, and so that would be huge news if something was off the coast.
Especially if it's making a beeline for New York City.
Absolutely. And it's not a small one.
It's larger than Katrina, surface area-wise. It had gotten up to a Category 3, but it slowed down a little bit right outside of New York City because it got larger.
Yes.
Like a figure skating, putting her arms out to slow down.
How interesting.
And the inside of that, you know, down the eye of it, looks pretty weird, too. Looks like a bunch of worms or a maze in there. But you can tell what day this is. You have the fumes coming up from ground zero.
Oh, there it is. Oh, how interesting. So now, what time? Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at the center of it. Yeah, it's not a clear eye of the hurricane. It is very strange looking.
It's these, like, snakes back and forth.
Oh, yeah, that's
crazy.
It's
not necessarily swirling around. And if you notice the outer bands of it, they go right over Cape Cod.
Very true.
And there was rain recorded at various airports in the area. And what I found most interesting is thunder was recorded at JFK Airport, at Newark Airport, and several other airports in the area.
Now, that they didn't report it is amazing. I think that's huge, absolutely, in and of itself, right there. At what time did the events of September 11th happen in comparison to the presence of Hurricane Aaron?
Well, the events, if you go to the Aaron, what's most interesting is the Aaron 5 page.
Okay.
And once you get into the series, you can click on the little links at the very top of the page or very bottom of the page to go to the other pages within the series. So if you go to Aaron 5.
Yes.
And then this is magnetometer readings. Sorry, I meant to go to the weather room, but now that we're on here, if you go down to figure 10 and 11.
Yes.
You can see for 4 days there what the magnetometer readings were in Alaska. And the vertical lines, those red and blue and green lines,
right?
Those mark the time that each of these events occurred. And you can notice a sharp change in the magnetometer readings for each of those events.
Oh, how interesting. Now the magnetometer is measuring what?
The Earth's magnetic field. So there's a shift in the Earth's magnetic field at those times.
And what would that, and if you saw this without knowing what's going on outside and you see this change in the Earth's magnetic field, what changes the Earth's magnetic field?
A variety of things I do not know. But it's rather interesting that first, with the first event when the hole appeared in the North Tower, it's the bottom of a chevron and the thing starts up right after that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to Aaron 9,
okay.
That page,
okay.
What you will see is events for the hurricane. You'll see the wind speed, the pressure, and then a relative distance from New York. It's not the actual distance. It's a ratio of proportional to the distance.
Mm-hmm.
And what you'll notice is for 24 hours, the wind speed is constant. For nearly 24 hours, the pressure is constant.
Hmm.
And also the hurricane virtually is no different distance from New York City
mm-hmm.
when each of these events happen.
Hmm.
As wow. though it just stopped there
right.
and created this controlled environment. And what was that controlled environment? We call field effects. It's a medium in which things can happen, like an electrolysis in which you have different actually, I like to think of a fluorescent light bulb, actually. You have a charge going through a fluorescent light bulb. It doesn't take very much power, but the way it gets the bulb glowing, it's much more efficient than an incandescent bulb.
Right.
Because of the mechanism.
Yes.
And we have a similar thing here. So we have the environment. Think of it like a plasma. And we all have or know of someone who, you know, senses this kind of field effect. When a storm is coming, we feel it.
Hmm.
We sense the storm coming.
Hmm.
People with arthritis really sense it coming.
Hmm.
There's something that they're feeling that's way ahead of the actual storm. So, the hurricane did not need to be directly over Manhattan. It just needed to be a certain distance from Manhattan. And it created this field. And if you look at other storms, like tornadoes as well as hurricanes, very similar events happen. You have cars ending up at the top of trees, and the cars aren't banged up. It doesn't look like they tumbled anywhere. You have pieces of wood and lumber going through a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Right.
And it's not that it flew through. There's a whole lot of interesting effects that you see with tornadoes and hurricanes that you see with the Hutchison effect.
And, yes, this is something that's right on the front of your page. Now, you were saying that you started looking into the Hutchison effect after you had amassed all the evidence and some of it that we read out loud. But just from the evidence in and of itself alone, what did you start to think about after you amassed that, you know, a list of 10 or 11 things? What off the top of your head did you think happened on September 11th by what you saw?
Some weird event, something we have never seen before. It was a new technology, clearly a new technology, that can turn a 500,000-ton building into powder in 10 seconds. Imagine that. That's pretty weird.
So, yeah, you know what? You're absolutely right. I was looking at the collapse of the buildings again. And, yes, you can see some poofs, like what people said were explosives, et cetera, but never before. And I was looking at other demolitions of buildings. Have I seen something dissolve from the top down? Usually buildings crash and the dust comes up from the building hitting the ground. But this dissolved from the top going down. The most amazing thing.
And the sets of three stories high, three columns wide, prefab segments the building was made out of, I call wheat checks.
Yes.
And you could see wheat checks flying through the air, melting like ice cream, and they never hit the ground. You had just people with video cameras at the base of the towers.
Yes.
You're running for cover, but it sounds like just a big sleet storm and snowstorm. You don't hear a thud, thud, thud of anything hitting the ground.
Right. It just sounds, yeah, like you said, just a dissolving, very strange dissolving of these buildings. So where do you go to now with your research after you come to see the evidence and just think, okay, this is strange. What's your next step?
Well, I just kept accumulating the evidence and looking at it carefully. And as I talked about last time, what I call fuzzballs, where the dust has settled out, but then where people are walking around, you see fine dust start rising up, and then pretty soon it rises up by itself. That told me that the dust was continuing to break down. It's continuing to dissolve once it hit the ground.
Oh.
Because that dust could not have settled out of the air in 10 minutes. And approximately 10 minutes after one of the towers goes poof, you see clear sky. We're upwind, so we see a clear sky, and then pretty soon you see it rising up from the road. And then they bring out the street cleaners and scrub it down. Then I started noticing, okay, what do they do with the lawn? Well, the lawns are, then I started looking at them. There's a lawn in front of the WFC buildings, that's World Financial Center, directly across the street from Tower 1. And you notice fresh potting soil dumped all over the lawn. Dirt dumped on the fire truck, in the fire truck, under the fire truck. And would you know that as of yesterday, there's still dirt getting hauled in and out of Ground Zero.
What?
I talked with a friend last night, and she told me that, she saw the trucks coming and going.
Well, is that because of the reconstruction they're doing on it?
Why would you be hauling dirt out? How did it get in?
Hmm.
If you'd built these towers before in this clean bathtub,
mm-hmm.
completely lined with concrete, and actually we have a picture of the bathtub all cleaned out, why is there dirt still coming and going? They bring the dirt in, dump it down, stir it around, haul it back out.
Mm.
I was there in January and saw it myself, videotaped it with a friend, Andrew Johnson. We'd gone up there, and he has video footage of it. It's peculiar, and they're hosing down cables.
And they're hosing down cables.
That was really strange.
Hosing down cables. Amazing. On the lines is Dr. Judy Wood. This is KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. She is our guest during this amazing summer sign-up drive to welcome all of you listeners, and those of you who maybe haven't participated in our longer fun drives, just to take a real quick minute out and to go to our website at www.kpfk.org and to get into some great sweepstakes giveaways that we have for an Apple iPhone 3G. It's just out. We're giving one of those away a day. That's if you sign up online, even at the basic membership of $25. And we also have a guitar signed by Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine and also Jackson Brown. Just lots of really fun stuff. It's up at our website, www.kpfk.org. Our goal is 2,500 new folks to come on down. Around 550 of you have shown up, and we love you for that. But tell a friend to come on down and be a part of this. This maybe is a new strategy for us to not take over the airwaves and distract stuff, but I'm sure we will do that very soon. But for right now, hey, this is saying, look, this is something that is an ongoing process. Freedom is something we work for on a daily basis. We do this here at KPFK, and we need for you to help us do that by being a mensch and stepping up and becoming a part of KPFK. If you are able to reassert your Federal Reserve notes to us, we will laundry them and put them to very, very good use, because they say there's always some kind of white powdery substance on all these dollar bills. I don't understand why, but we will launder them and we'll put them to amazing use, bringing you the hope, the energy, and the brilliance that reflects who you are as a body politic. Much respect and love to all of our listener sponsors out there. And we hope that you'll take part in this summer sign-up by becoming one of the 2,500. Right? They had the 3,000. We need the 2,500 because we're not out for war. We're out for peace and not letting somebody take another slice of us away in any way whatsoever. And so please go to www.kpfk.org, sign up, look at all the goodies we have there for you, and be a part of the solution on this planet. Because everyone's got to teach one, and we've certainly got some materials to share with you. All right, Dr. Judy Wood is on the line. We're going to be back. And these are the kind of guests we get to have on this play, I have on KPFK, because of folks like you. So please make it possible by going to our website, kpfk.org. Dr. Judy Wood is on the line. Her website is www.drjudywood.com. That's right, drjudywood.com. Spell that all out and go to an amazing, deep, well-researched, well-thought-out website because she gives you everything you need, brings you the evidence. And with her background in physics, mechanical engineering, experimental materials, she is the person to read. And to come out with a read that will just blow you away about what happened on September 11th, because her evidence doesn't add up to thermite, doesn't add up to explosives, doesn't add up to micronukes. So what does it add up to? And that's what she is here to explain for us tonight. And so thank you all for being here. And so, Doc, when we start then to look at the evidence and you're like, let me just keep digging, you, at the very top of your website, when you start to get into your materials, you hit something that people might have heard of, but has certainly left our eyesight. You have a section called Star Wars Directed Energy Beam Weapons. It's acronym DEW.
Directed Energy Weapons.
Yes, absolutely.
It's energy that's directed and used as a weapon.
And so I'm wondering, are you saying from your evidence that, for one, there is such a thing as a directed energy weapon?
Well, there are known directed energy weapons. This one is unknown, but what else do I call it?
Right.
It's using energy that's being directed. It's not a kinetic energy weapon. It's not like a bomb. It doesn't explode. But it's using an energy environment. And there's something directional about it because you have cylindrical holes top down through buildings. That's pretty good direction. And it doesn't spill across the street. It just gets to that building.
Now, tell us about your research into the existence of these types of materials and what the evidence is that you have that, you know, that points towards something this exotic being used on September 11th?
Well, all of the various details that how do you get a material to turn into dust to fall apart? Instead of the molecules being attracted to each other, they seem to suddenly repel each other. And it seems to be kind of a chain reaction. And I might mention also Bankers Trust or Deutsche Bank across the street from WTC2.
Yes.
It became infected with something. Infected meaning whatever started continued going, and they thought they could repair it. They repaired it, but it's continued to disintegrate, so they have to take the building down. And they're having a problem taking it down because what do you do with the material?
Are you saying to this day?
Oh, yes. They don't know what to do with it. It's not down yet. 7 years or nearly 7 years after the event, this thing is unresolved, and it's continuing.
So this might be why they are having such a hard time rebuilding that complex, right? Because I heard that there are delays, there are design changes. But at this point, what is at the World Trade Center complex? What's there?
They've tried to start rebuilding, but then they stop and do something else. They have to have a cover story for it, so there's, you know, delay after delay of excuse here, excuse there. And come on, after 7 years, you can't even take down a building? You know, the Bankers Trust building.
I'm looking at your bird's eye view underneath the tab that you have linked to Star Wars beam weapons. It's a bird's eye view of the complex. We only had two airplanes hit the World Trade Centers 1 and 2, but that whole area is absolutely devastated. It
and
is
gone. You know, there's what's left.
It's incredible. It's incredible. So now, talk about what kind of black budget beam would be. Tell us as much as you can about the beam and how the evidence points towards its use again.
Well, instead of doing a multiple choice test where you choose between a set, you know, selection of answers, maybe it's none of the above. And so, you know, I put it this way. If you're choosing between bubble gum, a slingshot, and a firecracker, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, it's got to be one of those.
Right.
You're going to come up with the wrong answer. Instead, look at the data. Keep looking at the evidence, and the evidence will tell you what happened.
So now, when we start looking at the evidence and some of the things that we listed, the first thing that you talked about are these deep holes. These amazing, it's like somebody just took a pole into the ground, like you're planting seeds, and you punch a hole in the ground and you drop some seeds into that hole, except it's on a scale that is absolutely massive. Have you heard anybody talk about what those holes were? Were they just explained away as pylons for, you know, part of the structure of the World Trade Center buildings?
Well, these holes are about 25 feet in diameter. And in Building 6, there's enough of those holes adjacent to each other, they kind of coalesce into this huge void where the middle of the building is missing. And there were emergency workers who were in that building when that happened. Some of them were on the right side of that edge, and some were on the left side of that edge, or the wrong side. And some of them existed by noon on that day, and some of them were disappeared, never to be seen again. It's like the material just totally, you know, turned into dust and was gone with the wind.
I mean, those holes are massive. Are you saying that these holes, in what buildings do they appear?
They're in Building 6, Building 5, Building 4, Building 3, holes in the street, holes around in the complex. Well, there's nothing left of Buildings 1 and 2, so we can't say, you know, what was there. But there's evidence of these big cylindrical cutouts in all of his other buildings.
So are you saying then that if a beam weapon was used, it was used from space?
Not necessarily. There's an environment in which things disintegrated in, and we don't know what created that environment. But there's, on a small scale, there are examples that have been reproduced of every one of these effects, with intersecting different types of energy within a particular zone.
And there is, from your scientific background, when you look at these huge punch marks in the ground, you have what other possible explanation could there be for them?
I haven't seen any. You know, it's you know, the material's gone and it keeps, you know, breaking down. Somebody else has a better idea, I'd love to hear it.
And how deep do you think these holes are?
I figure about 70 feet, 60 feet. Like the hole in Liberty Street went down about that far because you could see the tail end of a wheat check down in there.
Wow.
And then see several floors above that. So it's around 60 or 70, you know, feet. It goes right down to the bedrock.
Hmm. The other evidence that you place underneath Star Wars directed energy weapons, that tab that's at drjudywood.com, is dustification. Now, that was always something that blew me away. I've never seen a building dissolve like that. Could you talk about what came through your mind first when you saw, because your background is in mechanical engineering, you know materials and these structures. What did you think when you saw that?
Something turned it into fine powder. It was bizarre. Actually, that particular picture, the special pictures I have names for, that one is the bubbler, you know, like a drinking fountain.
Yes.
It
yes.
looks like a drinking fountain made out of dust.
That's right.
And when I did my request for corrections to NIST, I ended with that picture saying, how could anyone call this a collapse?
Yes, absolutely.
You have some explaining to do. And how they got around it, they didn't analyze it.
Well, how was that getting around anything? That's not doing your job.
Right. They didn't analyze the collapse. So as I say, you can't call it a collapse if you didn't analyze it and determine that it was a collapse.
It's amazing how they think playing dumb or just sitting there and denying or ignoring is going to make the problem go away. Well, it's not, especially when you have minds such as yours on this issue. Now, explain how these kind of materials can be turned to dust, Doc. How can this happen?
Well, there's some new technology that's not in public view. They don't want people to know about it, but there are folks working on it, like free energy. Well, if you think about it, there's some horrendous thing happened that day. If we didn't know about it before, it's worth studying, because imagine if you could trap that kind of energy and you could power every house in the nation with it. You know, how did that come to be? That is just a horrendous event. So ignoring it and sweeping it under the carpet is the last thing we want to do. Let's use it for good purposes. But ignoring it and pretend it didn't happen is pretty weird. Somebody needs some explaining to do.
Yeah. This plausible denial stuff. Nobody buys that anymore. You know, nobody buys anything that this administration or even Congress, both Democrats and Republicans, they are both in this together.
Well, or the TV set and
absolutely.
So forth. They don't want folks to think for themselves, so they tell you what the answer is and tell you to memorize it.
Right.
And that's why I don't really like telling people the answer, because I want them to be able to see it for themselves. I want them to feel empowered.
Yes, certainly you give people all the materials to do that. But in a sense, what I'm trying to coax out of you is the process that you have gone through in your discovery. You are a woman of science, and so there is a real high level of evidence, and obviously you've seen something to put yourself out there on the line in the public with this information by using your mind in this way. And so when you look at your dustification page and looking at the dissolving of this, once again, are you saying that there is only a particular, for one, you're saying explosives and hot airline fuel could not do this?
Correct. For starters, there's no evidence of high heat. Then also explosives. Explosives break stuff into chunks, and the chunks go flying. Once the chunks leave the explosion zone, they don't continue to break down.
Very
so
true.
That doesn't explain it. Plus, we don't have big seismic booms seen. You don't see any flashes.
Yep.
Yes, you see squirts out of the building, but you know, if you have something turning to dust, sure you're going to have squirts coming out of the building, just like squirts coming out of the wheat chicks as it falls.
That is true. Those were little puffs of dust that were coming out of the sides of the building.
Correct. There's no flashes associated with them. And then we had in the fire trucks parked at the base of the towers, the Scott packs, the air tanks that the firemen wear.
Yes.
Exploding.
Oh, now, what would make those explode?
Well, if the steel is dissolving and the wheat checks falling down, wouldn't you think the steel in the air tanks would start dissolving?
But
and
what
it could no longer hold the pressure.
But what about the how did the trucks survive, the fire trucks themselves?
Did they?
Oh.
Some of them were just missing engines.
Right.
Big cast iron engine blocks,
right.
Gone.
Right. Now, there is testimony from a gentleman by the name of William Rodriguez, who talks about being on the bottom floor of the World Trade Center and there being a big boom underneath him first. And then he hears a boom up top and firemen running around talking about all of these explosions, et cetera. What do you think they're talking about?
Well, folks hear sounds and they make assumptions from the sounds.
Yes.
Those Scott packs in the fire trucks were certainly going boom when they exploded.
Okay.
And if there are any pressurized air tanks in the basement, which I would think there certainly would be, because most basements have pressurized air and compressors for various reasons. And also, I believe the toilets in the tower probably use a lot of pressurized air, so they wouldn't have to pump as much water up. That would be exploding.
Hmm.
So that's an explanation. But another thing about human recall, we try to put together the best story we can with the information we have at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And our memories are not like tape recorders.
Mm-hmm.
They're subject to interpretation. Like we've heard a lot of stories about the molten metal that people were walking through and their boots were melting and after a few hours.
Right.
If you stop and think about it, does that make sense?
No.
The feet, no reports of burned feet.
Well, and why does it take a couple of hours for rubber to melt when it's, I mean, what's the temperature of molten metal?
Well, they're talking about the steel in the boots were melting.
Oh, well, still.
And we know that that can't happen and have feet that survive that.
Yeah, very true. Absolutely.
So it isn't that these people are lying. It's that somebody had suggested the story to them, and they grabbed onto it. When people are given an answer, they quit asking the questions.
Well, I remember seeing a photograph on your site where it shows a group of firefighters all sitting around one of these molten holes, and there's a really bright light coming up, but one of the guys doesn't even have a fireman's jacket on. He's standing there, you know, unprotected, but yet they're supposedly around heat at 1,500 to 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, that's someone's interpretation of that photo. But if you look at it, that fireman doesn't have anything on his arms, bare arms. He's standing in the hole, so he'd be waiting to molten metal. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
But these are interpretations, and the interpretations get passed along, and it sort of feels like we're back in the Dark Ages, where people thought that some disaster happened when they had an eclipse of the sun.
Right.
And, you know, the sun lords took the sun away because somebody behaved badly. There's various interpretations that humans come up with, and then it gets passed along like it's fact. But if we look at what we see and think for ourselves, you can see the answer.
Yes, absolutely. Let me remind folks on the line, Dr. Judy Wood. She is a scientist, mechanical engineer, physicist, talking about what she sees that happened on September 11th, and that the explanations we have currently heard about explosives in the building, about thermite, about micronukes, does not even begin to be the correct narrative for what happened to the buildings. Also, under your Star Wars directed energy weapon tab, you have the toasted cars. Why is that evidence linked under the directed energy weapons?
What was that? The toasted cars?
Yeah.
And that, what is that link?
Well, it's just right under your Star Wars directed energy weapon tab, and part of the evidence you have there is the cars.
Right. This is when I first started out down this path. That was in 2006, in August. And, you know, things that needed explaining. And I just grouped together all of the toasted cars, and looking at them, we had metal split through the thickness when it's not laminated. You know, like the doors are not laminated material. Why they split to the thickness. I didn't know why, but I called it the peeling effect, had a category for that. And I started just categorizing all these things I saw. And this particular police car that's on the front page, the thumbnail of it, that one caught my attention because you can't have, that can't be from high heat. It showed me that there must be some kind of interference of energy. Why it could happen in one place where one nanometer to the right, it didn't happen.
Very true, because on this page, it is a police car, and you see the hood and the doors singed, but right under it, the paint and everything is white. and the back and the trunk. You still see, that's how you know it's a police car, is because you still see its markings right there on the side of the car. On the lines, Dr. Judy Wood is with us. We're looking at a website, www.drjudywood.com, if you want to follow along. But we just have to take just a quick break here. On the lines is Dr. Judy Wood. Her website, drjudywood.com. She has a background in physics, mechanical engineering, and exotic materials, talking about what happened at the World Trade Center complex. Not just buildings 1, 2, and 7, but the whole complex destroyed. And she says that the evidence and the dissolution of this is going on today. We'll be back with her in just a second. Dr. Judy Wood is with us, drjudywood.com. We are talking about some of the evidence and trying to figure out exactly what she went through when she started to piece together the evidence for September 11th, which brought her to a completely different conclusion, that the thermite, that the hot jet fuel, that the micronutes couldn't have done to these buildings they are purported to have done. And so she is looking at exotic materials, exotic weapons, and one of them being something based in the the black budget research done around Star Wars and creating directed energy weapons. We were talking about some of the evidence that could point to such a weapon as that being used on September 11th. We were just talking about the toasted cars. Did you have any more to add to that discussion on that?
No, except to look at all of those up and down the toasted car page, and there's another page in addition to it, but it's a definite phenomenon. And what is also interesting is the flip cars, the upside-down cars. I think most of the listeners out there know that cars are normally oriented with the tires down instead of up.
Right.
But you see a lot of these upside down, and they're next to trees that are fully covered with leaves. So it begs the question, how do they get upside down? And some of them, the ones that are upside down, look like they don't have a scratch on them.
You know, yes, ma'am, go ahead.
They're just less toasted looking. But we also see the same thing in tornadoes and hurricanes. And it also brings us to this other series I have on anomalies at the WTC and the Hutchison effect.
Yes.
It may not be that this is exactly the Hutchison effect. It may be something analogous to it, or it may be just like it. The Hutchison effect-like phenomenon. But what John Hutchison has is, his material has been out there for 30 years. I found pictures of the same phenomenon throughout the whole, you know, of all the data I've collected, including these beams that are just horseshoe-shaped. And if you click on page 4,
yes,
under anomalies, and at the WTC and the Hutchison effect.
Right.
You'll see some interesting pictures. At the top is the truck that has the door peeling, the car with the door peeling. It's like split thickness. And then you'll see some aluminum samples that John Hutchison has produced in his interference of energy fields. And it has a lot of similarities. And going down the page further, you get down to appearance of melting together. You have a penny inside of a beam, and you have everyone's seen this meteorite.
Oh, yeah.
From Ground Zero, where you have colored metal dividers in the only file cabinet remaining, was this crumpled up thing. So you know it wasn't high heat that did that. Then right below that is figure 135. This is from Hutchison's work. You have this piece of wood embedded in aluminum. If the aluminum were molten, the wood wouldn't exist.
Very true. Yes, the pictures of this metal just split up and very jagged, like it was stretched apart, like clay. Just amazing photographs.
And that is not melted because it wouldn't have such sharp edges.
Oh, very true.
And if you go down further, down to figures 324, they're not correctly labeled yet, you see meteorite they called at Ground Zero.
Right.
You can read the piece of paper, and something says expenses. Yeah, you'd think they'd want to burn up the expense account. But if you can still read the paper, what's it doing still existing if that was molten metal?
You know, that's something that you have pointed out very early on, that here it is talking about all of this heat and supposedly this hot fuel burning this, but yet you see dust, but you see papers everywhere. Why weren't those papers affected? And that's what you were bringing up just right now.
And in the next section, talk about voids and holes. This is just, you know, comparing the John Hutchison's work and what we see at Ground Zero. Here's a solid aluminum tube with a hole in it. It just went poof, came out in dust. And remember, he's doing it on a very small scale. And then we have pictures of top view of Building 6 with all the big holes in it.
Right.
And the topography of Ground Zero, where you can see no evidence of the main body of Building 4. And holes in the ground elsewhere. You can see that hole in Liberty Street. So it's just void of material. And if you go down further, it's numbers, figure 151, 152, you see the bent horseshoe beam, which cannot be from buckling, because buckling, you get a kink in the beam. These are bent, plus they're also bent around a vertical axis instead of a horizontal axis.
Wow.
If you have an I-beam, it should be sagging in the middle, not curled around.
Right, right.
And then you see some of John Hutchison's samples, these solid aluminum and molybdenum curlicue things.
Yes.
That was not heated. There's no grip marks. It just curled up like that. Like you get a piece of plastic and pour gasoline on it, it'll crinkle up.
Yes, yes.
You could also hold a human hair over a match, and it'll crinkle up. Or get some scissors and scrape a ribbon and it'll curl. Something is happening to part of the material, not the other, that caused it to curl. So a beam affected part of that, or the energy field affected part of that, and caused it to just turn into jelly, curl, and then resolidify. And then we have some pictures of some beams from the NIST site, which show looks like wet tissue paper, the steel beams, but then they resolidified. Like figures 163, you know, down the axis of bending.
Yes, yes.
And that's a pretty significant issue. I call it the rolled-up carpet phenomenon. Things curl around the wrong axis. If it buckled, the building should bend over, not curl around the vertical axis.
How interesting.
So there's a lot of a lot of similarities between the two effects. And what John Hutchison does is interfere different energy fields to create these effects. He's just, you know, goofing around having fun.
Right.
And isn't being real careful about how much of this, how much of that, but he's got a very good feel on which knobs to turn here and there and to get this effect and create levitation, some other phenomenon. But we see all of those things at Ground Zero. But what is also interesting is that in 1983, folks from the Pentagon and the U.S. Department of Defense visited his lab and videotaped it for 4 months, everything he did. It's kind of interesting. And then they classified it. But he did not work for any government agency, so they had no control over what he would do with this.
Now, explain once again the Hutchison effect. So did he start to put together his idea about fields of energy from September 11th, or was he already working on that?
Oh, he did this back in the 70s, 1970s.
Okay, very good.
And he was trying to replicate the work of Nikola Tesla. And Tesla, remember, is the one who brought us alternating current.
Yes.
And a whole bunch of other things.
Yes.
And there's some interesting stories about different things that blew up and an earthquake machine that he made. And he was caught smashing it up when the police came to his lab to see what was going on.
Right. He did some tests and wanted to create some kind of effect in was it Antarctica or Arctic?
Let's see. There's some hikers going to the North Pole for the first time.
Yeah, the Arctic.
And he wanted to send them a signal.
And it ended up happening, correct?
Well, the story is that there ended up being this big explosion kind of thing in Siberia that was bigger than any nuclear blast that anyone had ever seen. So, you know, it's not clear
Yes.
If that's what it was or not, but they don't have any other explanation for this, where all the trees got knocked down. And so John Hutchison thought this was very intriguing work that Tesla had done, and he started trying to replicate it.
Now, did his work, did Tesla create a directed beam weapon?
I don't know all that much what Tesla has done. You can Google it, and there's a whole lot of things.
Sure.
I'm in the process of building a series on his work.
Right.
That it shows there's a whole lot more out there than any of us, probably just about any of us, realize. And I don't even know if he did levitation, but clearly he created this field effect around, he had a tower in on Long Island. And what John does is create that field around something and then interfere other beams with it or other energy fields with it. And then miraculously these odd things happen. So it's been reproduced. And it's been reproduced by others as well.
And so how long ago did the government come and speak with him? Did they have time to take what he has known and play around with it, you think?
That was 1983.
Oh, so they had time.
Yep, and you can read his affidavit that he signed for my legal case. It's on the eighth page of that series, where different, timelines of different things he's done as well are in there.
Well, this is something that we are going to, of course, continue to speak with you about, Doctor, because there just never seems to be enough time. And once again, I feel that we are getting into the second plateau of the information that you have been working on for all this time. And to know that there is still dust being formulated or the breakdown going on at the World Trade Center site, I think is huge. Hello, if this was a regular collapse, that place would have been rebuilt, 7 years later, and there are still complications at the site?
Yeah, I understand the Bankers Trust building is only halfway taken apart so far. But why'd they repair it first and then take it down?
Yeah, I mean, wow. Just amazing stuff, amazing things. And so, Doc, well, obviously, we're going to have to continue this discussion and really get into and start to connect the dots even closer with your evidence and what you're looking at with exotic technology being a part of what happened at the World Trade Center attacks and coup against the American people. And I just want to thank you so much for your courage to do what you're doing because it's for the whole planet that you're doing this.
Yes, thank you very much.
Absolutely. We've been speaking with Dr. Judy Wood. Her website is drjudywood.com. And these are the kind of individuals we're able to have on KPFK because you are going to help us make our 2,500 summer sign-up goal by going to www.kpfk.org. Signing up, a $25 basic subscription goes a heck of a long way because we get to count you in our roles. You get to be a part of people that are action-oriented, that are about truth and loving thy neighbor because you love yourself. Got to love yourself first before you can love anybody else. And so do that and respect yourself by making sure that you have this kind of a information form available. We need 2,500 of you. We're up to around 575, 580, something like this. Please come on down. Basic subscription online, www.kpfk.org. So much more going on there, too. So please, you keep it going on with your action and your love. And we appreciate you so much, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Radio Alchemy with your host, Evan Ray. Be sure to visit our website, www.radioalchemy.com, and join us next week for more mind-blowing revelations from the fringe.